Good morning. Glad you're here with us this morning. I want to thank the elders, of course, for the opportunity to speak to you. If you're visiting with us today, I am not the preacher here. You'll be preached to by Ryan a little later. He's very good at what he does. Today I've titled my lesson, Mercy and Grace. And I want to just say, this is not an exhaustive study. In fact, as the older I get and the more I study, I realize God's word is inexhaustible. It doesn't matter what you look at, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is mercy and grace. Now, I know some of you guys from reading your blogs are wordsmiths, and I'm not one of those, but I think when it comes to God's definition of terms, it's very important. So with those two words, mercy and grace, they're commonly used today. But often they're misunderstood or they're used when they should not be used for each other. They seem to be the same thing, but in God's mind, they're not. So I want to give man's definition, and then I want to give God's definition. I use the dictionary Webster because that's what I have. Webster's dictionary says, mercy is compassion, forbearance to an offender or a subject, kindness extended to someone instead of strictness, a blessing regarded as an act of favor or compassion, relief in distress, compassion shown to victims of misfortune. Grace is defined by Webster as benevolence or generosity shown to God by man, shown by God to man, especially divine favor unmerited by man. Now, I'm going to go into that a little later. The mercy of God is distinct from his justice. It's a short prayer either for a blessing or as giving thanks to a meal. It's kindness, favor, and compassion. That's man's definition. Well, God defines it in these ways, and I've used Strong's Concordance because that's what I have. And they're the Hebrew words, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Hebrew. If you want to know that, ask Ryan. Mercy is defined in the Old Testament with three words. One word is used as compassion. One is to bend or stoop in kindness to the inferior, to show grace or favor to the inferior, or kindness and goodness, or as it's translated many times, loving kindness. In the New Testament, mercy is translated mercy, pity, or compassion, or in the act of showing mercy, it is to pity or to have mercy on. So, although there's many meanings for mercy, today I want to look at that to bend or stoop in kindness to the inferior, or to have mercy on. Mercy is compassion or patience shown to the lawbreaker or the offender. The act of mercy is performed out of compassion. Mercy from God is directed toward the sinners. The act of compassion. Mercy is a matter of justice. For instance, the judge can show mercy to someone who is offended, but he doesn't have to give him grace. He can show mercy. He can understand and have compassion, but he doesn't have to forgive him. Someone said that justice is getting what you deserve. Well, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Mercy is God not judging us for our sins, which we deserve to be. For Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So take a deep breath. That was a lot of information. God's mercy is not punishing us for what we deserve. One of our goals this year is our prayer relationship with God. So let's look briefly at how mercy fits into this goal. If you want to, turn to Revelations 3 and verse 21. And I have a lot of scriptures and I won't be reading them all. I'll be given them to you, so if you want to write them down, that's fine. But in Lamentations 3:21, the writer Jeremiah says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that the one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The English Version and the King James Version uses mercies. Other versions use compassion. Whether mercy or compassion, according to verse 23, it's new every morning. Mercy is there. Paul lists that in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, and we'll use this many times. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, not just has mercy, he's rich in mercy. And that mercy is given to us every morning. Most of us have the same day-to-day routine. We get up, we go to work, we go to school, we're at home, we're taking care of kids. It doesn't matter what it is. God extends mercy to us. He did not judge us for our sins yesterday. We woke up this morning. We have the choice to serve him or not to serve him, to sin or not to sin. He extends mercy to the just and to the unjust. Today we live because of his mercy. There are many references to God's mercy throughout the Bible. Just a look at Psalms, and one of the commentators said there's at least 27. I read many of them. Psalms that focus just on God's mercy or speak of God's mercy and how we need it. I chose Psalm number 103. And just a few verses out of Psalms 103, which is a great psalm. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The Lord executes righteousness, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor punish us according to our iniquities. But the mercy of the Lord is for the everlasting to the everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness from the children to the children's children. God's mercy doesn't mean that he treats us with our sins as we deserve to be treated. In fact, Psalms 103 verse 10 is why I picked the psalm. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Today, we have mercy. And think about that for a moment. We're here because of the mercy of God. In verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy." God told Moses in Exodus 33, verse 19, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Micah also records in Micah 7 and verse 18, "Who is like you, God, who pardons sin and forgiveness of our transgressions to the remnant of your inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight and show mercy." This passage shows that God enjoys being merciful and still showing mercy. It's part of his nature to be merciful. And these words are all to all mankind. Mercy is extended to me and you and to those on the outside. He shows mercy to all who are on the earth. But sin is a relationship breaker. Whatever our needs may be, and they are many, don't get me wrong, most important thing we need is to be forgiven. Even at our best, in our very best, it's not good enough for God. Paul wrote in the Roman letter, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." It's just not in our nature. We're sinful. So if we need a good relationship with our Lord, we need to be forgiven. The good news is God loves us unconditionally. And God does not love us because we're lovable. It's not about us. It's about his nature. It's about who he is. God's love is not based on what we do, whether it's good or bad. It's not about us. It's about him. His love is, he doesn't love us because we're so lovable, because it's not about us. First Timothy 2 and verse 3, God says he wants all men to be saved. That's his love. all men to be saved. And that's to everyone, but it's not automatic. It's not like mercy that he shows to us. It's not the case of saying, oh, that's okay, God will take care of it because he's merciful. No, we need to go look at Romans 6 and see that that's not true. We need to do something. We need to call on the name of the Lord, and we need to obey the commandments. There is no expiration date on God's mercy. His mercies are new every morning. They're perpetual and always will be there as long as we live. And as long as the earth is here, God will extend his mercy. Consider this. So far, you've survived 100% of your worst days. I'll say it again. So far, you've survived 100% of your worst days. Now, like I said before, and I'll keep on saying, I know our needs. I know my needs, and I know how some of us are. But God is there for us. God is merciful. That then is God's mercy, in a nutshell. Mercy is God not punishing us for the sins as we deserve to be. What a God we have. But I also said this lesson has to do with grace. Grace defined, as we read, is benevolence, especially divine favor unmerited to man. And I asked several of the elders, what does that even mean? I don't have a clue. It's an old term. It comes from a long time ago. It's in many commentaries. But basically, what it comes down to is that God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. Life. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve. If mercy, through mercy, we deserve death, grace, we deserve life. Today in our society, we're taught, you work hard, you're paid for it. You work harder, you get more pay. You work less, you get less. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we work. But if we bring that into our relationship with God, it doesn't work. Because grace is not based on anything we do. We cannot earn grace. We live by God's grace through his generosity, through his gift, and we're going to talk about the gift of God. Before I do that, I want to define God's terms of grace. Grace is a gift or blessing brought to man by God. It's favor, it's a gratitude, it's kindness. The gospel is good news. The gospel has grace. To get a better idea of grace, let's think of the Jews. They were given God's law. A merciful God gave them law. But he didn't give them grace. Every year they had to make atonement for their sins. The veil of the temple, of the tabernacle, separated man from God. And God wanted it that way. But after Jesus came, that ceased to exist. God gave a gift. He offered to men his only son. That took the place of that offering that allowed him to be wrongfully persecuted and hung on the cross for our sins. God loved us so much that he gave something that we don't deserve, and that's grace. Grace doesn't cost us anything, it's a gift. It's not free to the giver, though. It bore much expense. The gift of God cost greatly. If you don't believe me, read Jesus in the garden in John. Such a wonderful price was paid for the gift that the Lord gave us. That he would die in our place, that we might have life. God calls us to serve him, not because he needs us, but because we need him. And so he gives us this gift. Sometimes we feel we deserve an answer for our prayers from God, and we keep looking and looking and don't understand. We work hard, we sacrifice, and we just don't see what's going on. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about mercy and His grace. If you assume you can do something to earn His grace, you don't understand grace. It's free. It's given by God. You can never earn it. His grace is the same today as it was yesterday, as it will be forever. In the Old Testament, as we said, He gave a covenant to His people that they could not keep the promise, and they betrayed Him. Yet He remained merciful and gracious until the appropriate time. Now this is a little different, and I want you to take a thought with me as I go to this. I want to consider the laborers and going into the vineyard, as it is in Matthew, as Jesus tells the story of picking in the vineyard. The landowner made a contract with the first group to go in the vineyard, and he said he would pay him one day's labor, which is a denarius. Then he offered to the next group, and a little later on in the afternoon, he offered to the next group, and so on until what is called the 11th hour, or the last group went in to work. And he said to that group, "You go in my vineyard and work, and you will receive what I shall pay you." The landowner was very gracious, and he was a generous person. He's God. He was very concerned for his vineyard, us, and the welfare of the workers, we. And he agreed to pay a denarius, which is an equivalent to a day's wage. Now, just a quick study there. In that day and time, one denarius was a day's wage for a worker for the full day. And in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 15, God instructed that a hired man should get paid his wages before sunset because he was poor, he had worked for it, and he was counting on it. That was the culture of the day. Each worker, regardless of how long he worked, received a day's wage. Now, we use a lot of stories on that, but here's one I want you to think about. The workers that went in the vineyard to work that were called weren't called to receive a debt. They were called to receive grace. God met their need. When you are laboring, you get paid a denarius. That's what you need for the day. And God met the need, therefore sustaining the family for that day. God is a gracious God, and He is willing to give out grace. He gave His only Son and paid the debt for it. There is no merit to it. He gives it to us. The 11th hour workers receive the same day's wages as the first, because God meets our needs. God met our needs when He put Jesus on the cross and gave His Son in our place for the debt of sin that must have been paid. Now, life can seem pretty complicated. Relationships, bills, debts, kids, parents, politics, taxes, all these get tangled up. They all get blurred together. If you don't believe me, ask Teresa. I walk around in a daze half the time. All these things go through our mind, but something remains uncomplicated, and that is God is love. Always will be. God looks down upon us, and our love confounds us. So why do some try to do the math with God's grace and distort the picture of what God has given us? Why does some say, it's not just Jesus, but good works, that's what gets you salvation? Others say, nope, it's not just Jesus, but you got to attend the right church. That'll get you salvation. Others say, nope, not just Jesus, but believing the right doctrine. That'll get you salvation. Well, I have to say, it's not Jesus in anything. Here's what the formula is. It's God's mercy and grace, plus His gift, Jesus Christ, that equals salvation. And only that. Now, should we do good works? Of course. Should we attend the right church? Of course. Should we believe the right things? Of course. Without that, there's no chance. But it's not about us. It was given to us by God. Salvation is a free gift. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We worship the Father because we are grateful for what He's done in giving us a gift. We serve him because of his love and his goodness toward us. Grace justifies us before a holy God, according to Romans 3 and verse 24. Grace provides us access to communicate and fellowship with him, according to 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Grace disciplines and trains us to live the way that honors our God, Titus 2, 11 through verse 14. And for us, grace gives us a new relationship of intimacy with God, Exodus 33 and verse 17. That's what we want when we pray, an intimate relationship. We truly understand God's grace in our life, we will grow closer to him. I said in our songbooks, well, I didn't say that, I took that out. But our songbooks contain many songs with mercy and grace. Consider amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That's a whole nother lesson. And as I said at the beginning, the more we look into God's word, the deeper we can go. So, grace. As God defines us, he gives us what we don't deserve. That's life. And that's eternal life. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve, and that's death. Because of his love, God wants us to be with him. His mercy requires that to take place, and it is extended through this day. There's a close connection between God's love and his mercy. And his gift was Jesus laid down his life and became the sacrifice so that God could show his mercy and his grace toward us. Instead of punishing us for our sins, he allowed Jesus to take away our sins on the cross. That is the ultimate gift of God's mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And as I said at the beginning, mercy is justice. Because of mercy and grace, we can, according to Hebrews 4 and verse 16, approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time in need. And that's why we pray. Once again, just to summarize, mercy is not God punishing us as our sins deserve. Grace is God blessing us despite the fact we don't deserve it. Mercy is a deliverance from judgment. And grace is extending kindness to those who are unworthy, us. Take out your songbooks and turn to the song that's selected. Now, I said that this is not an exhaustive study. In fact, on the way to church, I told Teresa, this should have been two or three or four lessons. But we get to preach once a year, so I gave you the crypt notes on it. Go and look at these things. It's amazing. If you need to be strengthened through the prayers of the congregations, be ready to come forward as we sing. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to be one. You need this gift. Everybody likes to receive gifts. And God's got the greatest one for you. Well, how do you receive it? Well, first you have to hear the gospel. And part of what I preached today was that. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's his death and his resurrection, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 13. And we must believe in that. We must believe that Jesus is the Lord. In John 8, verse 24, we must know that Jesus is who he is. It also involves repentance, or the changing of mind, and how we approach our God. In Acts 3 and verse 19. It's confessing Jesus as Lord in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And then it's being baptized according to Mark 16 and verse 16. That's God's gift to us. And it is a great and wonderful gift. If any way we can help you this morning to get closer to God, please come forward as we stand and sing.